Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Now, we are just under a month away from the budget, but what are the wins looking like for the economy that trades globally? Will we see a continuation of universal energy credits? Well, for more on all of this, we're joined by Kate English, who is chief economist with Deloitte, and Cliff Taylor is with us as well, columnist with the Irish Times. You're both welcome. And Kate, just as you walked in there, you were saying that in light of what happened last night, you find it interesting that there hasn't been reaction on the markets in relation to what's happened in Poland.
Correct. When we look across the markets and how they reacted through to yesterday evening and into this morning, there's very little movement, really. The S&P 500 is up a little bit. So too is the NASDAQ. We've had a minor movement in oil, it's up about 1%, and gold edged up a tiny bit as well. But that record, that movement in gold has been happening consistently since the start of the year. So we did that. Is at a record high, but there wasn't any spike in it yesterday, which was something when I was leaving the office yesterday evening was keeping an eye on in our data sets for the evenings and through on to this morning, but no sign of any significant movement in it.
But I suppose events overnight do remind us that we live in tumultuous times and we're going into a budget where that will probably be front of mind when our ministers, our public expenditure and finance ministers, are putting the final touches to this budget.
Absolutely. I think this budget, when we look at it, it's more than a routine fiscal exercise. It's set in an environment where we have an awful lot of external volatility that is impacting our economic outlook, but in a way that's actually very difficult for us to calculate. And with that, we have seen this resurgence from a European context, but also in the Irish lens as well, of looking at competitiveness. How do we ensure that in an environment that will continue to be volatile and will continue to have changes in that global trade policy, that we will remain competitive. And when we look at that, we see, well, now is the opportunity for us to invest in infrastructure or make policy changes that have an impact on our sustainable economic growth. And what I mean by that is we know that we are exposed in our international environment. FDI, foreign direct investment, has been critical to the economic growth story. But are we potentially over-reliant on it? And how do we ensure there are tax structures and policies in place that now really support and encourage the domestic environment, DDI, if you want to call it, domestic direct investment? And that's what we need to see come through in Budget 2026.
Okay, and that brings me to things like energy credits. And Cliff, I might bring you in here because Mary Lou MacDonald is saying that there should be €450, 150 by three, for everybody in the country over the winter. And that comes off the back of Energia announcing that 12% increase yesterday, which will have left its 300 customers in Ireland, I'm sure, crestfallen. What's your take on that? On that call by Sinn Féin?
Sure.
And probably what we're going to see a growing clamour for those energy credits as the prices rise.
Yeah, I think the government have tried to close them off, Claire. I think we've got some very strong messages this week from Fine Gael ministers in particular, that this isn't going to happen again, that we're not going to have another cost of living package. Now, obviously, that's politically difficult for the government because, if, as you've seen, the opposition are saying, look, the money is there. Why don't you give it to people? The counter argument that the government is putting forward is, look, rather than these once-off measures, we need to do permanent things to improve people's lives in areas like childcare, education, health, and permanent welfare payments and so on, rather than these once-off measures. Now, the political difficulty of that is that people have got quite used to this cash, and coming to the end of this year, if they don't get payments as they did last year when the government went a bit mad pre-budget with 2.2 billion in a cost of living package, people won't get that money this year. People won't get that money this year. And they're going to feel a little less worse off. Now, the government's spin on that is, look, fair enough, but we're going to try and do permanent things to improve your living standards and make the economy more competitive and more sustainable, as Kate was saying. But it's still going to be a tricky one, I think.
Yeah, you've been writing about this. You added it all up, what the government has spent on one-off support since 2022, and you came up with 16.5 billion euro. It's an extraordinary figure.
It is, yeah. And I suppose, look, we need to put it in context as well, Claire, in the sense that when the cost of living crisis hit, it hit very quickly after the Russian invasion of Ukraine. There was a need for an emergency response. And I think, you know, a lot of those payments in the early days were justified. I think the problem has been that the previous government found it impossible to wriggle off the hook and phase them out. And particularly went again last year before the general election. And that is the crux, I suppose, of its political problem this time. But I suppose that the issue is that a lot of money was spent. And even if we look at what was spent in energy credits last year, 570 million, that's a lot of money. And if you look at the things we need to invest in, that would go a fair way in paying for bills and major investments. For example, it would be enough to fund the Dart extension to Drogheda on current costing. So that's just one example. But a lot of money is spent in these packages, and there are a lot of other calls on that money, I think, over the next few years in vital projects.
Yeah, I mean, it is stark, isn't it, Kate, when you think about it, that it would pay for the Dart extension. Cliff was also writing about the fact that the Dublin Metro could have been paid for using those supports, and nobody would argue that they weren't needed at that time in 2022. But it does add grist to the mill of those who say they shouldn't happen again, as much as we might like them.
Unfortunately, there are difficult decisions that need to be made at any time period when we're looking at budgets, but even more so now when we know what the external environment looks like. The IFAC report that was released yesterday, so the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, they detailed very clearly that we've been overspending for the last number of years and actually spending more than what we had set out we would. So there was meant to be a spending increase of 3 billion last year, and that's more likely to be 7.6 billion. So we need to pull back on some of those current spendings, and that's where those one-off payments come in. And I know there's a little bit for listeners and even ourselves in our daily lives of infrastructure fatigue almost. We hear it all the time. We need to invest in infrastructure. But what are we actually talking about? We're talking about water, energy, roads, and why are they so critical? If we do not invest in those, we cannot deliver on housing. It is as simple as that. We cannot get our completions up from just over that 30,000 mark to closer to the 50, the 60,000 mark. And that will have a real impact on all of us in our daily lives if we cannot see that delivery increase. And it's back to this piece of we need to ensure that we're curtailing or having a handle on that current spending, continuing to invest in our capital programme to deliver on that infrastructure, and making sure we are still putting money aside for the future as well from those windfall taxes. Remember those large corporation tax receipts that we don't see as being long-term income into Ireland.
It's a hard choice. It's a hard political sell though, isn't it? You're not going to have any extra money in your pocket, but you'll have a new water treatment plant in 5 years.
And this is about looking at the bigger vision for Ireland. What do we want Ireland to be in 5, 10, 15, 20 years' time? And we mean that from an economic standpoint, but also from a social standpoint as well. And each year that we delay the delivery of those critical infrastructure projects, they will impact us economically, but also socially more and more. And that's why I understand the really difficult choices that we would all feel. We want to see, personally, more one-off benefits to us. But really, when we take a sit back and we think, what is for the greater good here? What helps us long-term for a sustainable economy that delivers growth, but also delivers services to the citizens who live here? So we need to make those choices.
And Cliff, you know, in amongst those difficult choices will be the one around the VAT cut for hospitality. Mm. How do you think the wind is blowing on that one?
Yeah, interesting. I think it's going to go ahead. But from what Simon Harris was saying this week, It looks like it may only apply to food rather than hotel rooms. Now, there are kind of implementation difficulties there. For example, if you go to a bed and breakfast, you know, your bed is charged at one rate and your breakfast at another. But they probably aren't insurmountable. That would save some money, and perhaps the introduction of the lower rate might also be delayed until next summer, which would save some money as well. But I think what the government will be trying to do is to stick with the promise of introducing the lower rate for a fair part of the sector, but still leave some money available in the tax package to do something on income tax rates and bans for ordinary households. Because, as you said, and as you were talking about there, people are going to miss the extra payments that are coming through. So the government is going to have to give them something somewhere. And I think there has to be some kind of an income tax package, as well as other things that people feel in their pockets in areas like childcare, for example, mm-hmm. Education, health and so on. Kind of measures that the government can say, OK, you're not getting your once offs this year, but we are helping your pocket in these four or five ways, and also investing for the future.
Okay, and Kate, when it comes to that VAT cut, is there evidence that it will help the hospitality industry, that it will help keep jobs in that sector? Because we've heard about many closures in recent times.
I suppose that is the big question when we look at any tax policies that are being introduced. What is the problem they are trying to solve, and what will be the end result? And does that cost outweigh the benefit, or the other way around? We know we've seen an increase in insolvencies in the hospitality sector over the last 2 years. That VAT reduction at a whole scale, a blanket scale level from 13.5% to 9% would cost about $867 million in a full year. Will it result in a fall off or a decrease in insolvencies within that sector? Potentially not. Why? There are other costs there as well, or difficulties, the cost of labour, the availability of labour within that sector. And it is a sector we may continue to see churning. The carve up of it to not be hospitality as a whole and instead one specific sector, that may be different. I need to look at the detail of that, because that's more targeted. And that's what we call for in our own pre-budget submission at Deloitte, is that when we're looking at policy measures, they need to be targeted and clear in their end outcome. And that's why when we're looking at the domestic economy, it's looking at the potential introduction of R&D tax credits, for example, decarbonisation, AI. Why? They are income generating tax policies that help with the long-term sustainability of the domestic economy, which again is my key message of all this.
Just over 3 weeks to go, so probably some choice is still left to be made. Cliff Taylor and Kate English, thank you both.